What do you say, son? You want to be an assassin?
Yes.
What number you want to wear?
69! Take the number 69! It's hilarious!
That's right. The Sharks win game number 69 on their schedule. They beat the Detroit Red Wings, their longtime rivals, 5-3 on San Jose ice as they finish up a 6-game homestand. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. I am Eric Kura. You can always check us out after every Sharks game, home and away. And of course, if you want to be part of the show, here's how you do it. This show is all about for you guys. So join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. You can also use the hashtag TealTownUSA. And of course, always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. With me tonight, Mr. Eric Landy.
Hey, good evening. It was a good Sharks win tonight. I have a couple of just kind of overarching thoughts as we kind of roll into this last sprint into the playoffs. But I think tonight in general was pretty good.
Very good night. Indeed, I thought they played a decent game, but I thought they were getting into the, we're kind of letting this team back into it. But nonetheless, this was a game that the Sharks had. This was like a classic Sharks Red Wings game. No matter what the standings were, these two teams always duke it out and just seem like they don't have no matter what the standings are, it's crazy like that. So, Landy, just check your mic. You seem a little low.
Oh, okay. But, let me go ahead and check that.
All right. And with that, we'll dive into it while he gets that going.
How's that? That better? Better?
You still sound a little bit off, a little bit.
How about now?
No, you sound fucking horrible.
Well, there goes another thing in the swear jar. Hi, AJ. So let's talk about this game while we work on our mics. Sharks started out okay, but then better.
Okay.
Way better. Very cool. Started out as Trevor Daley. He has a knack to buy against the Sharks. Even when he was with Dallas, he always found a way. Trevor Daley, his 9th on the season from Zetterberg and that little brat, Tyler Bertuzzi, as Rocket would say, gets on the board 5-0-1 in, gets the Red Wings fans going into the crowd tonight as they make it 1-0 Sharks. And then after that, Jonas Donskoy bangs home an open a puck into the open net at 10:55, his 13th of the season, from Evander Kane and Joe Pavelski to make it 1-1. And then Eric Fair gets his first goal as a San Jose Shark. He gets assists from Dilly Dilly. That's right, Dylan and DeMello. At 12:39, the Sharks go into the period up 2-1 while they take a breather. Landy, I'll start with you. What did you think of the first?
The first was not great. I mean, it just looked like they were not really into the game mentally. Didn't really look like they wanted to kind of like check in that first half of the period. And like the guy said on the broadcast, it really did take that first goal by Detroit to wake them up, to snap them into gear. After that, it seemed like they were bringing on the intensity for the next, period and a half. And, really controlled the game. And, it was good to see that this team had some bite back, after kind of a lousy start to the period.
All right. AJ, since you're joining us tonight, what did you think of the first? As the Sharks did outshoot the Red Wings 12-9, but I thought Detroit had themselves a good period before the Sharks started scoring.
I would just echo what Landy said, is that it seemed like the Red Wings kind of like woke a lying beast by any stretch. I mean, they did look like they were sleepwalking the first 8 minutes, but all of a sudden that That goal, who was it again?
Which one, the Donskoy or Fair?
No, the first Detroit goal.
Oh, Trevor Daly.
Yeah, Daly. That was it. For some reason, I was like, I kept on having Tatar in my mind just because Randy brought him up on the broadcast. But yeah, that goal from Daly, it was like once that happened, it was kind of like they played Sandstorm and it was like, oh, we have a hockey game. So, we got to start doing that hockey. And the Sharks just brought it in the second half of the first. And I was kind of like, as soon as that happened, when you saw them woke, kind of all of a sudden the team was woke, yo. And once that happened, I felt very confident. I'm like, okay, something has been triggered. So, Sharks gonna pull this off. Credit to Detroit that they just kept answering until the end. So credit to Detroit. The thing that will make you a little nervous though is that they kept answering and it just felt like the Sharks were just having a difficult time putting their foot on the throat.
Yeah, they couldn't knock him down and keep him down as warranted, but they did get things going again. Chris Tierney had a nice breakdown and he put it in, but then Howard stopped it and Bank just kind of tipped it and tapped it in the second period to make it 3-1 Sharks. It looked like things were going their way. And then Gustav Nyquist, his 17th of the season from Bertuzzi and Daly, makes it 3-2. So there you go again. Detroit, Landy, just seems like they were stingy, as AJ just said. They weren't going away. And after two periods, Detroit outshot the Sharks 11-9 in that, but it was a fairly even shot total after the second period. And I thought Detroit was hanging in them despite being losers of 6 straight games. They were playing a good game.
Was it that Detroit was pushing back or that the Sharks were just bad? I mean, I don't know. I guess I felt like maybe the Sharks were kind of playing with their food a little bit, so to speak, like not really taking Detroit very seriously. I think that power play is really bothering me right now. And right now Burns is
preaching to the choir.
Well, no, but I mean, like, there were stretches where they were going over, but they were, giving a lot of, I guess there were a lot of plays that, were just not really going their way. Right now, it doesn't seem like they're generating much. And the second power play unit is the unit that is really pushing the power play forward. I say Burns doesn't look right to me. There's just something that's not there that he's missing. I'm also looking at,
there's a lot of people that don't think Burns is right, if you get what I mean.
Well, no, but I mean, just on the as so far as he's just looking really like he's tentative, looking really tentative. So I don't know.
And some really crappy passes into the neutral zone tonight too for Burns.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's not also forget, guys, on that first power play, he gave up a breakaway and Jones bailed his ass out. What was it? Wasn't it Clendenning that had it? But shoot, that's the tough part. And Bearded Shark 661, speaking of the power play, the second unit doesn't do that dumb ass drop pass from center ice to D hash marks. Didn't work when Boyle was on the team. Doesn't work now. So...
So I think we can all agree.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said before, when Mikhail Botker is the one looking like the playmaker on the second power play unit.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I mean, yeah, and Mike Nevis is bringing up Burns is missing Jumbo. I think, like I said before, the team could sustain a level of play without Jumbo and, keep right at it, keep at the same pace for only so long before you really start to miss that extra presence on, on the ice. And I think we're starting to see it. And this team is letting a second tier or third tier type team back into games and just not taking over like they used to.
And that's something that the Sharks need to have going into the postseason, along with the power play, and we can bang that drum all day. But the thing is to have somewhat of an intimidation factor. And I think that's been the problem with the Sharks whenever they were eliminated, is that they would always get into a funk and never get out of it. And we thought, or in the middle of the season when they had those tying goals, like the Timo one against Anaheim where he tied it up and the Sharks eventually won in overtime, we thought that they had grown that resilient play and gotten out of it. And it seemed like, okay, they can come back from anything. I mean, they were down 3-0 and scored 3 goals in a second against Winnipeg, only to, you know, lose it in overtime. But they always seemed like they were in it. And lately, and I don't think it's just because of Jumbo, but lately, AJ, I'll say this, is that they just seem like they're eking out wins. They're not, you know, coming in and having that swagger to finish people off.
Not since Chicago. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, this is, again, playing Detroit. This is not your father's Red Wings. So it's another, while it's a win, it's one of those ones that you would essentially consider a disappointing win, that the Sharks are better than this. And again, it took those first 8 minutes for the Sharks to wake up. I mean, you can try to use that as an excuse when it's a matinee game, but we're into the nitty gritty now, boys. Last 15, well, after tonight, last 14, you have to maximize your points. And we can go back. We talked about this lately, or I shouldn't say lately, but we talked about this earlier, where there were games where the Sharks just let it get away from them and they would let a game go to OT. And you think about where the Sharks would be, those 5, 6, 7 games that they let get away from them, or it would be something silly. What was that one game where it was like clearly there was like a bad waved goal or something for the Sharks? Well, I remember a lot of that last year, but there was a few that the Sharks just literally let it get away from them. And I remember on an After Dark just saying, here's one to mark down. And you know what? I'm going to start doing that next year with the schedule, is just mark down, like, here's one that the Sharks either had and let it go, or whether the officials had an impact on it. Because we can still go back to that Vegas game, which was just, you know, ridiculous. But there's always going to be that handful of games that you can look at retroactively and say, this was a key game that the Sharks let get away from them. And at the end of the season, we'll see if it would have made a difference. And right now, with like 3 points separating second from fifth, I think it's a little bit more now because of the win, but last night it was 3 points separating second and fifth. You get to that point, it's just, no, you have to maximize every little thing. And tell me, how huge are these Pacific Division games, especially the two that remain against Calgary? How huge are these games going to be?
I mean, they're going to be what, I guess, separates them from being a wild card or being 2-3 in the division. I it could even go as so far as maybe this team even making the playoffs. And it's just that tight. I mean, I think Calgary is running out of runway too quickly here. I don't think they have enough games left. We'll kind of get into how many games remaining, but still, I mean, that's a team, boy, there's hope there, right? There's hope for them. And so that makes them dangerous for sure.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, absolutely. To recap the third period, Sharks get a power play.
I'm sorry, what?
The Sharks actually got a Detroit penalty on number, whatever.
Oh, you got to have that 56,
Danny DeKeyser, 2 minutes for hooking at 3:55. Not yet. We didn't score yet. Jeez. Get it together, AJ. How many times have you been to the tank? but guys, they scored a power play goal. They scored a power play goal. It's amazing.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God. Jew, of course, you know the bet I've been making on Twitter for the last 4, 5, 6 games. If the Sharks score two power play goals, I would be buying a Brody Brazil jersey. Yeah, very scary. But Timo Meier tips home a shot and beautiful fake to have Bodker open up Howard. And Timo banks it home. It's 4-2. Then Detroit, again, comes right back in it with who was it? Henrik Zetterberg getting his 950th point. He becomes the fifth leading scorer in the history of the Red Wings. Nyquist and Bertuzzi, his third assist on the night, makes it 4-3 just 41 seconds after Timo had tied it, or gave him a 4-2 lead, excuse me.
Rocket's favorite thug.
Yeah, she can't stand that guy. And understandably so, after what he did with the Rapids against the Barracuda in last year's Western Conference Final. But Chris Tierney ices it with the empty netter. Pavelski and Braun get the assists at 18:26. That's your final 5-3. Guys, overall thoughts in this game? I'll start with you, Mr. Landy.
Like I said before, just looked uninterested. You know, it was a win that they desperately needed, right? And to me, the fact that they let the Red Wings hang around for as long as they did is the scary part. And like I said, I hope that they can like turn it on against, you know, opponents that are more capable than the Red Wings are. But still, it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, if that made sense to you guys.
AJ?
Well, kind of, you know, jumping on Landy's coattails a little bit. There is such a thing as a pretty loss and an ugly win, and tonight was an ugly win for me. I think the Sharks should have been better in this. They should have been more defensively sound. You look at what they did versus St. Louis in that third period just a couple games ago. They should have been locked down versus Detroit. I mean, Detroit is not as good of a team as the Sharks made them look tonight. So that's just one of those ones that the Sharks are going to look at in the rearview mirror in a couple of games. They're going to look at that tape and go, "The hell were we doing, man?" And for Laurel, that one's for you.
Well, I mean, at least though, the positives that we can take out of this game is at least the offense has kind of come back a little bit. I mean, I would hope that you would score at least 5 against the Red Wings, but still, it's good to see that some guys are putting the puck in the net. I mean, it's good to see Donskoy off the schneid, so to speak. LeBanc, again, you know, that's another guy that needs to be, you know, needs to be contributing. Timo Meier, I mean, really probably the best rookie and really, I mean, far and away the best rookie season on the Sharks right now.
Is this really a rookie season for him?
Yeah, I mean, we'll call it sophomoric if you want, sophomoric effort or whatever. But, you know, his 20, I mean, he's going to get 20 goals. And that's quite, you know, I think that was the expectation. But still, it's nice to see him rounding into form, you know, really.
Well, really, you take into account that how many goals did Marleau have last year? 23?
27.
27? Okay, but four of them came against Colorado. So that's why, you know, that's why I had 23 in my head. So, I mean, Meier almost matching that total. So, you know, making up for what is a pretty significant loss.
And, I mean, you look at Chris Tierney, the guy tonight, 17 goals. I mean, that's a career year for him. So, and
look at LeBanc's assists.
Yeah, LeBanc's got a lot of assists. So, you know, I think it's been overall, it's been a nice year as far as progression for the young kids. You know, and
is there any young guy that you can point at and say, okay, he was given an opportunity and he did not grasp it? I don't know that there's a guy that you can say that about this season.
I mean, if you wanna maybe put Tim Heed on that list.
I don't think I would put him on that list. I mean, he played one game last year.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, guys who were expected to make a bit of a jump, whether it's your Meyer, your LeBanc, you know, to a certain extent, even Hurdle was expected, like, you know, to, this is the end of his bridge deal. Like, hey, we're 15 games away from him, like, not having like a significant injury.
Yeah. Well, somebody's saying Sorensen.
Yeah. Sorensen,
is somebody that we'd like to see more out of. I mean, I think when we had him, Danny O'Regan was another player that we expected a little bit more from. Now, we can have the argument whether or not he was placed in a position to succeed. Right. You know, that's definitely goes into the thinking there, but still.
Well, you know, Tierney also exceeding expectations.
I mean, he's part of the exceeding expectations crowd, but the underperformers, I think Sorensen and O'Regan for me.
In a lot of people in the chat, Sleepy Mofo, Jessica and Dave, all saying, you know, Ryan Carpenter, and we'll touch on Carpy in a little bit, but, you know, I think they're trying to bury him with the Barracuda, and unfortunately wasn't able to work out that way. But, you know, Carpenter didn't do too much in the in his time this season with the Sharks, and that's why he was sent down and was attempted to clear waivers.
And let's address what Jackal is saying. You know, so what if four goals were, you know, in one game, and how many empty netters did he score? I don't know how many empty netters Marlowe had last year, which is a good point, but I also use that point as to one of the reasons why, or I should say my argument when there was a couple people that would sit there and espouse how fantastic Milan Mihalic was, when I would look at his goals and it was empty netters, or it was, you know, goal number five in a 4-1 game with 3 minutes left. You know, it was like you can place value on goals, and Milan Mihalic, while he might score 30, 16, 17, 18 of them were not high value goals, whereas Jeremy Roenick at the same point would score 17 goals, but 10 of them would be high value. So, you know, a debate for another show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing too is, I think a guy though that maybe is underperforming expectations just by a hair, and I think that we're seeing it now, is Hurdle. And the reason why I say that is because in the last 10 games, he's got 3 points. I mean, and if we want to go back into 15.
Is that on Hurdle or is that on Couture? Because I haven't been, as Hurdle has gone, as you're saying, I've also kind of noticed the same with Couture. Like, they were peas and carrots for a little while after Wingles and left. You know, the Couture was like the new peas, and Hurdle remained carrots. And that pairing was really solid in the middle of the season, and it's kind of waned a little bit. Now, I don't know if that has to do with Couture or Hurdle, but as Hurdle has waned a little bit recently, so has Couture.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, maybe that's a product of having Mikael Boedker on their wing. Maybe, but he's looked fairly decent. I mean, his forechecking is a lot better, and I see more consistency from him. But yeah, no, and Hurdle to me just seems like he's making some decisions that are not characteristic of him in the first part of the season. So I'm maybe wondering if he's maybe tired, or if he's got some kind of like little nagging thing. I mean, I don't know.
For the record, both of them have 2 points in their last 5 games. Logan has 2 goals, although he's pointless in those last 3. Hurdle had that empty netter and then 1 assist against the Blackhawks.
Hmm.
Right.
I feel like over the last week, I'm trying to decide what is higher, like the amount of goals Couture has scored or his blood alcohol level. Like, I'm just not sure.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, AJ. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, it kind of feels like Kane has kind of took some of the thunder from
the whole team, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a wake-up call when Kane got here. It was like literally he walked into the room and it was kind of like, oh, man. Remember when we had that guy Ryan Clough? You know, like, you know, a guy who's got wheels, who has hands, and who finishes checks and doesn't put up with a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, so is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a fantastic thing, and I hope it's contagious to the rest of this team.
In with the assists he had tonight, he's averaging a point a game. He's got 6 points in his six games with the Sharks.
Hi-yo.
Just want to give a hello to everyone who joined us after watching Brody and Curtis. You are watching Teal Town After Dark. We do this after every single Sharks game, so do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button down on the YouTubes, and also hit that bell that reminds you when we are on to check us out. And we will be here throughout each and every game through the playoffs, we hope.
Hey, and to follow up on Puck Guy, don't forget to follow Teal Town USA on the Instagram, because we're starting to throw some videos up there and some live video. So follow that as well so you can get notifications.
Yeah, be sure to check that out. So overall tonight, Sharks outshot the Red Wings 34-26. Faceoff circle, the Sharks, it was close, 53-47, but the Wings had it. Power play 0-for-2 for the Red Wings. So good job for the number one PK in the NHL. Sharks go 1-for-3. If you're counting at home, that's now 2 out of 34 over the last month or so.
But what is it like over the last five? Basically 2-for-5, right?
Roughly 2-for-5.
Yeah.
So they have power play goals in two of their last three games. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So trending upward, you know, look at it in those five game chunks. Then trending upward. It certainly wasn't trending anywhere in February, but yeah. I just don't want this to turn into essentially what happened last year, where they were like solidly in the top three slot and then they just collapsed and ended up being a wild card.
Yeah. I mean, they've got 13 games left.
13 games left. 13 games left. 13 games left.
And right now they're at 83 points. So, you know, 95 points is what we're guesstimating at. So that's 6 wins. They got to go 500. You know, they got to go a little less than 500 to make 95 points. You know, if they want to try and fight for the second spot and home ice advantage, you know, you're talking probably 98 points. So 98, 99, I think should do it. So that's what, 8 wins? I mean, that's doable. I mean, that's doable, especially with their schedule. You know, the Sharks don't have too many more contending teams they got to face in this upcoming little bit here. I mean, got the Western Canada road trip.
No, it's not the Western Canada road trip that I worry about. It's that stand against Jersey, Vegas, and Calgary. That is going to be huge. I mean, you've got two teams that are, you know, in the playoffs. You've got Calgary. Who knows where they're going to be a week or so from now? They could very easily go on a streak, so it could be very tight. So the next 6 games are going to be huge, and then you have that central roadie where it's Nashville and Chicago, and we know the Sharks don't do well in Chicago, and Nashville is killing it right now, plus another Vegas stop. So it's, you know, things do not get easy for the Sharks right now. This is the time, again, where take advantage of that Western Canada swing.
Yeah.
Like, they need to come out of that with a sweep. They have to. At the very least, you know, even if you give up a point and, you know, you take a game to OT, you still have to win that game. I don't care if it's in a shootout or
I was going to say, be careful with the shootout because, I wasn't going to show this early, but I'll show you now because at this moment, LA has the same amount of games played and the same with the Vegas and San Jose, but LA has 3 more.
Rose.
Thank you. Than the Sharks. So you kind of want to avoid going into a shootout in that sense. We'll post this up after we do the NHL wraparound.
But, uh,
It's the wraparound.
I didn't say a word.
I know. Quickly in the chat, I just want to go over a few things. Gen X O'Regan showed exactly who he is as a player. And now I hear he's tearing it up for Rochester, of course. Tracy VGK actually wanted him a draft, but DUW worked out a deal to take Schlemko, and they ended up getting him anyways. If that's the case, that and they gave up nothing for them to take Schlemko, which they traded him the next day, good on you, and not like having like give up like first round picks and everything for that matter. Rob Iman says the second line needs to be a skosh better.
He's used the word skosh in like four of his comments, and to that I just of course say the
fuck, bro.
Oh boy. Yeah. JF drink must be always. Oh jeez. Rob Iman also saying, do you maybe try pairing Kane with Bodker on the first line?
Oh, pair God.
Speed with speed.
God, no.
I don't know about that.
With who is your pivot?
Pavelski.
Let me get back to you on that one.
I almost want him to try maybe Kane with Couture and see how that would look. And then put Hurdle back with Pavs. So, which of course, where did I see it?
I'd like to see Donskoy reunited with Hurdle. So Donskoy, Hurdle, and Couture, and then you know you could put Bodker up there, or you could put Meyer up with Pavelski and with Pavelski and Kane, because I really like the Bodker Tierney pair.
See, and that's the funny thing is I really like the Tierney Meyer pair. I like Tierney with LeBanc and Meyer. I wouldn't mind seeing Couture with Kane and Donskoy. I would take that.
Kane with who and Donskoy?
Kane with Pavelski and Donskoy.
That's what they are now.
That's what they are now.
But and it seems to be working. I mean, Kane, point per game. I mean, this is what I'm saying. I mean, you
I get you.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, guys.
I get that, but at the same time, there's always just that curiosity to see what you would do with Couture.
Well, I'd like to see Hurdle. I mean, Kane can drive possession on his own line, right? That's a thing. So whatever line you pick, he's gonna instantly make that line better.
What do you think now? What do you think about like Pavelski, Kane, and Meyer?
Pavelski, Kane, and Meyer. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. So
yeah. You got two forwards that just have a nasty streak to them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you'd use them as the two battering rams and get Pavs the puck in the slot all day, all night. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, and it's not like Pavs is like some shrinking violet. I mean, you know, he can get nasty from time to time.
Right, and that's why that brings Bodker back to Tierney, which I think was a pretty good pair. I mean, that's who kick-started Mikhail Bodker's resurgence or mini resurgence, whatever we want to call this blip in the radar for his.
It's so funny you mention that, because there were so many people just dumping all over Tierney a season and a half ago, when he was dragging around albatrosses of players and wasn't given any talent to roll with. And now that he has talent, it's kind of like, oh, stop it, Gen X. Give me a
break. Gen X, I'd really like that. Anderson, Gretzky, Curry, Lynch. We should do that.
You know who I think should have been like the dream fourth line for the Sharks is,
oh, God.
I'm telling you right now, it would have been so cool. Turco centering Brodeur and Patrick Waugh. Like, that would have been the best fourth line ever.
Goldie.
Shut up, Gen X.
Oh, jeez. You know, Rob Iman with the Factor Fiction. Kane gets his first fighting major as a Shark on Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Him and I'd love to see Nurse drop gloves. Because Nurse is such a thorn.
I just don't think that Edmonton really has anything to play for at this point. So I don't see a real physical game there. Maybe you see something like that versus Calgary, but Edmonton at this point, I think it's just kind of like they're literally, you get to that point as a team. I don't care what sport you play in. You get to that point as a team where you know you're either in or you're out, and there is no bubble to be spoken of. It is fait accompli. And when you get to that point, you play not to get hurt, which of course leads to sometimes people getting hurt because they're playing not to get hurt. But it comes to the fact that no one's going to kind of step out of line or anything like that. It's, you know, it is what it is. Edmonton had an abominable season that nobody predicted. And I just don't see any reason. And really, is there really any history aside from maybe Lucic or something? I mean, there's really no history there of value. Even though the Sharks did play them in the playoffs last season, there was still there was that whole thing 12 years ago between like Torres and Mahalik. I mean, that was something to build upon, but
really, no recent stuff.
Exactly. There's even over that playoffs thing, there was really aside from Lucic, there was like nobody that like really stood out as kind of like that heel for the other team that you could root against, a la Pronger back in 2000, or, you know, there's usually that one guy that you can really just, you get really upset with, or you're ticked off about. And really there wasn't that guy on Edmonton last season.
You know what I really miss? And this just goes to show you how bad the schedule maker was this year.
The two line pass. Is that what you really miss?
No, the schedule maker is the LA Kings at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, the LA Kings to start the season.
You're right. And like they bookend the season most of the time, and it would be so cool to see us play them, you know, and it would decide if one was going to go to the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really like the Central Division swing that they're making them go through. And I mean,
yeah, but how great would it be though, if the Central sucked? You know, yeah, I'd be like going, oh my God, this is the most fantastic schedule ever designed in the history of hockey. But if you go back at the beginning of this season, when the NHL schedule came out, Puck Guy and I did a show about the schedule reveal. Both of us were tickled pink about the schedule this season because it was so, I think you also, when you compare it to last season, because the World Cup could just compress the hell out of everything, this season, it was so uncompressed. I mean, last week we had like 3 days off in between games where I was just like, you know, like, oh my God, give me my shot of hockey. You know, I was fiending.
And for that,
a few times that happened this season where they would play like Thursday, Saturday, and then Thursday, Saturday. And it's really two games a week for 2 weeks in a row.
So, and we had the bye week, and then we had the Christmas break, and then the All-Star break where they kind of had like a, I think at one time they had played the fewest games in the West, and now they've caught up with everybody.
Yeah, so incredibly uncompressed. Would I like to see a little more play within the division to kind of finish it off, just because it makes it a little more interesting and maybe a little tighter? Sure, but if you're going to tell me that there's going to be these uncompressed parts, because we all know the Sharks generally are in the top five of miles traveled, which means they don't get as much practice. I will take an uncompressed schedule like this any day of the week.
Well, and the best part is, I think we were all giddy about was that there were no more than five games on a road trip that it was stretched out really nicely for the Sharks.
And even so, homestands. Like, what, didn't they just finish like their longest?
This homestand is the longest one with six.
Exactly. So really well balanced, I thought. But it's, yeah, would you like maybe a couple? Like, would you still like to not be finished with SoCal before Valentine's Day? Sure.
Yeah.
But hey, remember though that it took how long? It took till just after Valentine's Day for us to even face Chicago. played 4.5 months of hockey before we saw two of these teams. So, you know, there's going to be weird quirks. And I'll take that if the Sharks get an uncompressed schedule. That's all.
All right. Well, I think that should pretty much wrap up the game and kind of bookend on what we're thinking. So,
dude, we haven't talked about the game for the last 10 minutes. What are you talking about?
we're talking about
schedules, dude.
Should we proceed with the reach around?
It's the rump around.
Good for you.
Oh my God. All right.
NHL wraparound.
Oh, the wraparound, you say. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yes. No, that's around the horn on the Pucknologists. In action tonight, the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 6-3 as Jimmy Vesey gets a hat trick for the Rangers. Glad he's actually doing something rather than complain about which team he wants to play for.
I know.
In Philadelphia, post-Teal syndrome hits Ryan Carpenter. He gets the game-winning goal at 17:40 of the third period as the Vegas Golden Knights hit 95 points in a 3-2-1 over the Philadelphia Flyers. Giroux with his 25th on the year. In Washington, Alex Ovechkin scores two goals to get to 600 on the night. And Evgeny Kuznetsov gets the game winner at 4:11 of overtime for the Capitals to beat the Jets 3-2. Laine gets his 41st of the season. So we're going to have a Richard race, perhaps, with between these two guys. In Columbus, the Neon Buggers beat the Canadiens 5-2. Foligno, Wenberg, Seth Jones had a 3.9 in this game, along with Ian Cole getting another goal upon his acquisition. Boone Jenner with his 8th on the year. Gallagher, his 25th for Montreal in a losing effort. In South Florida, the Panthers go down to the Senators 5-3, a rare loss for the Panthers that hurts them a bit. Duchesne gets his 20th and 21st on the season in that game. In Quackenheim, thank you, St. Louis. I guess you woke up after you left San Jose. The Blues beat the Ducks 4-2. Kevin Lacey's favorite player, Vladimir Sobotka, gets the game-winning goal late in the second period. Corey Perry gets his 15th on the year for the Anaheim Quackers. And unfortunately, the Vancouver Canucks have not scored in 7.5 periods. That's right, the Canucks get shut out again, 3-0 to the Los Angeles Kings. Toffoli, Kopitar, and Pearson get the goals as Jonathan Quick gets a shutout.
Felix, the race has come down to Matthew Barzal. It's Matthew Barzal and no one else.
Pretty much. And so we'll put up the graphics again here. Vegas has 95. The Sharks are at 83. LA is, with the win, leapfrogs Anaheim to take the number 3 spot in the West. Anaheim's loss puts them out of the playoffs at the moment as Colorado has 5 more.
Rez.
Thank you, Landy. Dallas has the first wild card at 82. Colorado has it at 80. In the Central, you have the Predators at 98. The Jets lose. They stay at 92. And the Minnesota Wild are at 85. And then you see the rest of them. And that's it for the wraparound. On this,
hey, evening. it is game 69. It should be the reach around.
So to splinter off, did anybody enjoy Brownie and Brazil? Did anybody watch those guys do their sideshow during the second intermission? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
Nope. Like that?
Well, give them a minute. Give it a minute for them to get there. It was fun. The only thing that kind of rubs me the wrong way about Brownie and Brazil. That sounds better. Kubro and Brodus. The only thing that rubs me the wrong way is that it started off at the beginning of the season where they would take a lot of questions and they would kind of pound through them. And now it's like they take two questions over the time of an entire 15-minute intermission. It's like, maybe take a couple more, because now it's just turned into this whole thing where they just bag on each other. And let's be honest, I think they're kind of stealing that from us, because like you think about all the time that we have spent on here bagging on Puck Guy's internet connection. I'm just saying.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah,
it really is.
And apparently I have the Max Headroom video filter effect tonight or something like that.
Well, you know what that means. That means your video is stuttering as well. Yeah, pretty much. But when it comes to that, just for you, Eric.
While you are free to blow my choo-choo whistle, Keep your hands off my wasabi.
I'm not putting my hands anywhere near your wasabi, and especially with, since it's game 69, no way. Of course, the jersey gets broken out tonight for game number 69.
Yeah, does he?
No, this is the naughty Nico. This is Nico's rookie jersey.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Was it game worn?
Mm-hmm. Only $100 at the equipment sale.
Please tell me.
Nico Dimitraka.
So yes. I forget what somebody in the chat will help me. No, I think it was actually from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where it's like, please tell me you didn't pay money for that.
I thought we were only saying that about my Adam Burris jersey.
Jose Canseco bat? Please tell me you didn't pay money for that.
Earlier today, I did put a poll up on the Teal Town Twitter, and we got a close matchup. I said with the Wings and Teal Town, we wanted to ask you, what's your favorite Sharks Let's Go Red Wings moment? The 94 upset, the 5-game drubbing against the Wings in 2010, the epic 7-game where the Sharks were up 3-0 and clinged on to a 7-game victory, or Sharky gets stuck. And 28% of you said the playoff upset in 94, 27% said Sharky gets stuck, and 26% said the 2011 7-game epic series. So I'll ask you, Landy, first, or you can go off the board because there's a couple others we can even bring up. What was your favorite Sharks Red Wings moment in the past?
You can choose an answer from one of the three members of the panel, or you can go on your own. Boom, 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 boom.
I don't know. I like the.
How does he not have the match theme queued up?
But anyway. Oh, shut up! Go on, Landy.
No, I remember the almost reverse sweep. I remember the game 7, and really just being the whole game just doing this. Like, I can't believe we're playing this game. I can't believe we're playing this game. Yeah. And I mean that. Just had all the right, all the right things for Sharks, Detroit Red Wings.
Phone a friend, Landy.
I like that. Yeah, Gen X. But yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. All of them are a good one. AJ, what says you? I pretty much know, I think, where you're going with this one, though.
Well, I have a couple. The first one is obviously, I'm sorry, you just got to say Baker. I remember being like one of a very small group of Sharks fans at the time that happened. Like, at that point, I literally had to travel to my local pizza place to see a Sharks game because the cable package that I had didn't even offer the channel that game was on at that point. So that's like what I had to deal with. So, and just getting to the whole game 7 thing, that was huge. But I knew nothing, next to nothing about hockey at that point. I was one of those goofballs in 2009 in the early 90s screaming shoot whenever they had the power play. You know, like, it took me a while to get into it. Not that I know much more about it now. But for me, actually, my favorite moment versus Detroit was, I believe, during, I want to say was it 09 playoffs? Does that sound right?
2010, it must be.
Maybe 2010. I just remember being in Tahoe with my best friend, and we were going for to see a concert there. We were up there for 2 days. And so it was like, okay, we'll gamble on the first day and we'll go see the concert the second day and come back. And that first day we gambled, and then boom, as soon as the game started, ran right to the sports bar, and they had like boxing and MMA and like a couple basketball games on all these huge screens. And then you can get these little personal screens, and we're like saying, hey, can we get the Sharks game on one of these giant screens? And it was kind of like, oh, we'll see what we can do. But of course, nobody bets money on hockey for the most part. So it was like, no, you were going to be confined to this little screen. But we both sat there in our little cubicle with our little screen, drowning in like horse racing bet stubs and watching this game and just seeing Marlowe on one knee put it through. And we're both wearing Sharks jerseys, and we just both and just screamed our asses off, and everybody stared at us like we were like crazy. And and the whole thing is, so we both screamed, everybody looks at us for a second, and then I save, and because we both screamed, everybody got like really quiet for a second, and I said very loudly, I go, well, if you guys put it on one of those big screens, you know what the hell we were yelling about. And funnily enough, about a minute later, the game was on one of those big screens.
Going through the chat, and Emma Hackle said the same moment. Rob Iman says, take the 50-50, Landy. Jerry F. picked Sharky, which ironically enough, tonight was the 19th anniversary of Sharky getting stuck in there.
How pissed off was Bowman?
Oh, he was so pissed.
Yeah, he was really so pissed.
So it was crazy. There was a number of games. I mean, 94 will always stick out to me, but I remember in 2009, that crazy game where it went back and forth. Sharks won 6-5, where they literally traded. They get a goal, we get a goal. They get a goal, we get a goal. And then Marlo has that breakaway to make it 6-4. You know, I was with Gentry at our house, and we were going nuts over that when Marlo scores.
You were with Gentry? What?
Yeah, he came over to my house. We're watching the game.
Okay. I misunderstood.
Perf.
And thank you, Jack, but I mean, staring at AJ like he's crazy, and this is different from normal. How? Yeah, thank you,
John. No, and Mike Nevis again. That's another one. The only time an NHL game has been rained out.
Aren't you like just totally upset that Detroit no longer plays in the West? I mean, it does irritate me from time to time. It really does.
Yeah,
so I mean, much good history there.
And them and the Avalanche, you know.
Yeah, oh God, those. I mean, the Sharks and Avalanchers.
And there was probably some good Stars games in there too.
Yeah, sure. But you know what? How much you want to bet Red Wings fans wish they were in the West now? Because I think they've barely hung on to make a playoff spot, and then now they're going to be out the second year in a row.
But so, I remember late 90s, early 2K, just really, really detesting the Dallas Stars. And I'm sure that, you know, Eagle and Turco had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
But man, did I detest that. And just finally, just there was a comment that went by a while ago from Gen X that we really didn't touch on, that we really should have, is if you ever notice when Mikhail Bodker scores a goal, does something phenomenal, Brody, our buddy, hashtags, hot bod, B-O-E-D. And what we're going to start doing here now,
oh God,
from now on, is when we can get through an entire show, when Eric doesn't go AOL, we're going to hashtag it hot bod, but we're going to spell bod B-A-U-D. As in
internet.
As in bod rate.
Oh my God.
Hot bod, B-A-U-D.
I hate you all.
It's not my problem. Blame Comcast.
I hate you all.
All right.
With Eric, that,
should we start wrapping this guy up?
Yeah. Before I turn into 8 kilobits per second.
Wrap it around.
My God. Landy, your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
You guys can find me at Eric Landy. Of course, you can see my little lower third right there, but I'm on Facebook, Instagram, I'm on Twitter, of course. I mean, all that social media garbage you can normally find me with my first name and my last name. My thoughts, Brent Burns, please come back.
Wow. Atta boy, Landy. And your final thoughts and where the people can find you, Mr. Strong.
Oh, final thoughts again. Take advantage this Western Canada swing over the next week. There is no reason why you should not sweep this upcoming trio of games. Not even kidding you. And then what do you get? Let me see here. Saturday.
You got Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, which means you get an extra day off. So you get Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday versus Jersey. So, I mean, there's no reason why you should not sweep the Western Canada series and come back. Hopefully you have an extra day because I haven't looked at the schedule. Who is New Jersey playing a day before? Do they play us first or do they like, is there Anaheim, you know, Anaheim, LA?
They do the California swing.
Yeah, but we're last. Okay. So, I mean, maybe if we get lucky, we're on the second end of a back-to-back. But anyway, take advantage of what the schedule makers have done. And, dude, just kill that. New Pucknola just dropped last night. Go check that out. It's not as great as usual because I was sans Jerk and Rocket. But we had decent fill-ins.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're all right. You know, nothing to write home about. They, you know, they filled in. They weren't filling. They filled in.
Jeez, that's such a lame joke.
I know, right? AJ underscore strong on Twitter, on Instagram. Don't forget to follow at Teal Town USA on Twitter, at Teal Town USA on Instagram, because as I stated earlier in the show, we are going to start doing more fun video stuff with Instagram Live. So check it out. I'm not poking a balloon. I'm just like sitting there. I'm going like this. I'm just teasing it.
Oh, my God.
Scared. All right.
You can catch us everywhere on your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube.
Like you've never seen a Kevin Smith movie. Stuff.
Smoochie Moochies, or whatever it's called.
Smoochie Boochie. Come on now.
Snoochie Booches. You guys both sucked at that.
No, whatever. Check us out on tealtownusa.com for all your fun stuff. Felix has got a great article out there as well. I'm, of course, at PuckDive14 on the Twitter and the Instagram. We'll be back with you on Wednesday night following the Sharks and Oilers. That game is a 6 o'clock start. We will catch you then.
Laurel's comment in the chat.
Oh, God. What did Laurel say? Oh, yes. April 7th, the tweet up at the tank. We can start now promoting this. I'm about to work on the
buttons. On the
buttons.
Did someone say button?
I know,
somebody
right?
Say button. No, I think if anybody said buttons, it was Jackal.
All right, Eric, sign us off.
And with that, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real, teal. Good night. What? AJ.
Nope. We do it like this.
I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Teal Town USA.
Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real, teal.